Hello, and welcome to Engineering Conversations. My name is David DeMontigny, and I am an engineering professor at the University of Regina. My guest today is Dwayne Gelowitz, an engineering consultant with broad environmental and civil engineering experience that spans over 35 years in industry. Dwayne is currently a principal with Clifton Engineering Group, and throughout his career, he has worked on a large variety of water projects, mostly here in Saskatchewan. Throughout his career, he has been heavily involved with the Association of Professional Engineers and Geoscientists of Saskatchewan, Engineers Canada, and the Association of Consulting Engineering Companies of Saskatchewan. Dwayne, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Well, thank you, Dave. I'm happy to be here, and I'm looking forward to this.
I'm looking forward to it, too. And to be honest, when I was putting this together, you're one of the first guys I thought of that it's like, oh, he has so much excellent experience. It would be wonderful to have him on. So,
well, thank you.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about your background. I know that your undergraduate degree at the time was regional systems engineering.
Correct.
But the program changed and it became regional environmental systems engineering. And currently it's simply environmental engineering. But the work is the same, right? The training is the same.
Correct. Yeah. And one of the things I found about my education at the University of Regina in the Faculty of Engineering is the broad background of the program suited very well my career in consulting and the activities and the projects that I ultimately got to be involved in.
And currently you're at Clifton Engineering Group, but as I mentioned, your career has spanned 35 years. So I think you worked at Stantec for some period of time. Tell us about where you've worked.
Correct. When I graduated immediately, I did a very short stint with Sask Water and then joined Stanley Technology Group and over some period of time worked briefly with Associated Engineering and spent the majority of my career the next 25 years or so at Stantec prior to joining Clifton for the last 6 years.
Okay, and then all of your projects were water-related, right?
Not all, but the vast majority of my projects were water-related. Some of them were municipal development. There was some transportation work, but the vast majority of what I participated in has been water projects.
And if we just think about like environmental engineering in general, I mean, you mentioned that the bulk of your career has been on water-related projects, but if you think about your classmates that went off and had their own careers, environmental engineering isn't just water. It's a whole host of things. So what are some things that, like, for example, young students might expect if they went into environmental engineering?
Well, they could be involved in a broad range of projects. I'm going to liken it mostly to consulting because that's where most of my career has been. But you could be anywhere from environmental remediation of impacted sites, dealing with environmental impact assessments, water projects, wastewater, certainly transportation. There's a whole range of projects that graduates could get involved with.
And I think the field of environmental engineering has grown considerably in the last 10 to 15 years. It seems like it doesn't matter which company it is, they almost all have environmental engineers as part of their staff.
Yeah, that's correct. And environmental is a fairly broad term that encompasses a lot of things. And there's a lot of people that refer to themselves as environmental engineers. And certainly it doesn't need to be a restrictive term and can apply in many areas.
Yeah, and I think as we move forward into the future, just with increasing energy needs, increasing use of resources, there's going to be a demand for more and more environmental engineers in the future to solve some of the problems.
Absolutely. In almost any project development, there's some environmental component that needs to be addressed either through mitigation or as part of a project development. So environmental engineering is here to stay.
Yeah, that's great. Now, let's talk about some of your projects, or at least one in particular that I know you're quite excited about. I don't know how many years ago it was that you did that project, but it was a water project here in Regina. Let's get into that one and dig deep.
Yeah, it's a long time ago already. It's over 20 years ago, and the project that you're referring to is now referred to as Mike Badham Park. It was originally referred to as Grant Road Park. And the genesis of the project was that through much of the 70s and 80s, there was a lot of flooding that happened in the south component of Whitmore Park. And it was a result of design standards at the time, which were insufficient, and a lack of what we call a major surface drainage route or overland flow route to manage excess precipitation that would come down. And when without the major system drainage route to direct that water away from streets and homes, it would pond and cause flooding. And it caused flooding in a couple of different ways. One of it was through entering manholes and the sanitary sewage system, which could back up into houses and cause basement flooding. The other mechanism was that it would pond on the surface and potentially enter properties directly as the water got to a sufficient elevation to get into the homes.
So lots of residents then living in that area were routinely having flooding issues in the basements of their houses.
Correct. Yeah. What I understand is there were some individuals and some homeowners that during the summer storm season really didn't want to leave their homes in the event of a storm and potential ingress of water into the property and them not being able to deal with it. And they didn't feel comfortable leaving their home during those summer storm seasons.
Yeah, that's amazing because, you know, in Saskatchewan, the summer is the time when you want to get away and enjoy
exactly.
the nice weather because our summers are short. So people were actually scared to go away in the event that there might be a major rainstorm that could flood their basement while they're camping somewhere.
Correct.
On vacation.
Yeah, and some properties had significant flooding, many times over in a period of 5, 10, 15 years. And they were concerned with property value damage and all of those types of situations. And something needed to be done. And we were contracted when I was with Stantec to assess storm drainage improvements in South Regina. And we did some modeling from the project area down through the South Storm Channel and ultimately through Wascana Creek and looked at solutions that might alleviate some of these problems. And one of the things that was kind of new at that time was starting to look at what are referred to as stormwater detention facilities or creating a temporary location for water to accumulate during a storm in an area that was not going to be problematic for flooding and that could be alleviated after the storm passed.
Okay, and so the project was commissioned, I guess, by the City of Regina?
Correct.
You guys did the project. It's been some time now. Issues resolved? Any more flooding over there?
I'm happy to comment that after the development of the project, within a year or two after, I happened to be driving into town from another project I was working on. I heard about this large storm that was happening in South Regina. And so when I returned to the city, I drove down there, and it was nighttime already, to observe ponding in the stormwater detention area. And we had developed a couple, one adjacent to the Southland Mall and the Mike Badham Park, previously Grant Road Park. And the project had accumulated the water as we had anticipated. And when I went to work the next day, I had called the city to try to find out whether there were any subsequent flood claims. And from that storm, which had a return period of once every 25 years, so a storm that you would expect to occur regularly nominally in a 25-year period, hadn't resulted in flood claims at that site.
So that's an example of a major positive impact that engineering had on the local community.
Absolutely. And it wasn't just the engineering and the flood proofing that was a benefit to the community. The park prior to excavation, and we lowered the park in some places about 4 meters or 12, 13 feet, so that we could store up to 30,000 cubic meters of water on site in a massive storm. The park prior to the development was just a muddy surface with very intermittent grass that nobody really used. Once the park was excavated, it was redeveloped into an active play field. There was trees placed on there, some benches, and a naturalized area with naturalized landscapes, little bridges across the drainage paths. And I've been told by many residents after it was developed, it became a central point for the neighborhood. People would walk to that location and through the park because it was one of the nice places they could walk through in the city. The challenge with that was with a new stormwater detention facility, and it was built adjacent to Grant Road School, there was concerns about children's access to flooded a pond when this ultimately filled. And one of the mitigations for that was that we put a level sensor within the construction so that the city of Regina would be notified whenever the park was being flooded, and they would dispatch somebody there to monitor the site and ensure that it was safe.
And no incidents after all these years?
No. It's quite interesting that there was a bit of public concern, or a fair bit of public concern, when this was initially proposed, but we had a number of open houses for communities. We also met with the area councillors, with the community association, the school board, the Parents and Teachers Association for the school, to project our ideas and tell them about what we were doing and to address their concerns. As the project construction was being completed, it's quite noteworthy that the Home and School Association at the school and the Community Association held a barbecue to thank the City of Regina, the consultants, and the contractors for the development of that project. That had never happened before. And I think it goes to show you that good engineering, well thought out, when you're incorporating benefits to the community, can have positive impacts in the life of a community.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm really glad you mentioned that public consultation part, because that's really a big part of engineering, because the projects that we do ultimately impact the society, right?
So yes.
And they held a barbecue for you. So clearly they were happy and thrilled with the outcome.
Yes. And throughout my career, as time has progressed, community acceptance and working with all types of different professionals has become a commonplace. Working with communications professionals, with lawyers, with accountants, and environmental professionals, biologists, archaeologists, terrestrial ecologists. Engineering is not an isolated profession. You need to be knowledgeable and listen to all these other professionals. Engineering development and engineering solutions don't fit within a silo anymore.
Right.
They're part of a societal solution and need to meet all those requirements.
Yeah, very good and really well said. Yeah. Look at your background here on the volunteering side. It's very impressive. You've been involved with APEX, so that's the Association of Professional Engineers and Geoscientists of Saskatchewan. That's the organization that regulates the practice of engineering and geoscience in Saskatchewan. You've also been involved in Engineers Canada and the Association of Consulting Engineering Companies in Saskatchewan. What could you say, after all of your years of experience, that the benefit that has come to you from being involved in those professional organizations?
Well, there's many benefits. You get to meet a lot of people from different backgrounds, and it's an opportunity to learn and develop some of your personal skills. I think before I got involved in many of those organizations, I probably wasn't as outgoing and comfortable in public speaking as I am today. Being present in meetings, chairing meetings, speaking on behalf of an organization at various times helps develop skills that you may not have otherwise developed. And those skills can be broadly applied in your day-to-day work environment.
And so clearly you would encourage any engineers listening or any up-and-coming engineers to get involved.
Absolutely. One of the things that I'd like to provide to the listeners is that when I started as a young engineering graduate, I purposely looked to the engineering profession to identify individuals that I thought were at the peak of the profession or the peak of the consulting engineering industry and try to observe what they were doing and how I might pattern my career after them to have a successful career. And what I acknowledged and what I learned is that many of them didn't just work on the projects. They were giving back to the profession. They were giving back to the community. And we're doing it in an unselfish way. And that is something that I've tried to emulate throughout my career. And I think it's important for all of us engineers or those that are looking to be engineers and people in general that we are blessed, we have skills, and there's many things we can do for the betterment of our profession, our career, or society in general.
Yeah, wonderful. I forgot to ask you at the start of the interview here today, how did you get into engineering?
Well, I grew up on a farm, and I had very little knowledge or exposure to engineering. But growing up on a farm, you see farmers are great problem solvers. And when I was in high school, my guidance counselor at the time, I knew I wanted to go to university, but I wasn't sure what I wanted to take. He said, "Well, you're very good at maths and sciences. Why don't you consider engineering?" And I said, "Well, what is engineering?" And I had to try to understand what the opportunities were for engineering, and after some consideration, decided to join engineering at the U of R. But even at that, I didn't really learn what engineering was until I started getting into my classes, particularly second year, and certainly once you graduate. But it's not unusual for many people not to have a good understanding of what engineering is in their high school years.
I've heard that story so many times. You know, my guidance counselor said I was good in math and science, so I should go into engineering. It's a very common story. And hopefully this podcast will actually help young people. When we interview engineers like yourself with such a breadth of experience, we're giving them little pieces of information that they can maybe be better informed.
Yeah. One thing we have to recognize about engineering is it's problem solving. And in at its base, engineering is problem solving using science and math. And many people have those aptitudes, and it's open to everyone. And I would certainly like to encourage any young women that are out there to consider engineering career as well. I know it has been considered a male-dominated profession in the past, but that is changing. And there's a lot of initiatives underway to broaden the perspective to women and make it an attractive profession for women. And I would encourage them to consider engineering as a career.
Thank you for that advice. And you're correct. It is absolutely changing. Our Capstone Project Day is coming up shortly. And just the other day, I saw a bunch of women practicing their presentations, female engineering students.
Yes.
That are in software engineering and some that are in electronics. So we're seeing more and more women go into all of the fields of engineering, whereas historically they might have only gone into environmental or civil or chemical. So it's wonderful.
Yeah, I've had the privilege of, in my volunteer activities in province and nationally, to come across many talented female engineers, and certainly there's no limitations there in terms of career advancement.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you for sharing that message. Any final advice you would just give any just to high school students in general if they're thinking about engineering? Because I often hear they're scared to go into engineering because there's all of the rumors of all of the workload and it's so hard. But look at us. We did it.
Yes.
I mean, what would you tell young people that are worried about that?
Well, I would tell them engineering is not going to be a cakewalk. But I think anybody that applies themselves and has the requisite attitude can be successful. I, as a student, was not an exceptional student, but I worked my way through the program, learned as I went, and as I graduated and came across experiences in my professional career, I used those as building stones to develop my skills, and I'm not unique. Anyone out there who's considering can have this same impact. It's just applying yourself and looking for opportunities to learn.
Working hard and believing in yourself. And
correct.
And determination is a key ingredient as well. Dwayne, this has been wonderful. I'm so glad that you joined us here today and told us about some of your experience in engineering and that Mike Badham Park. That was a really interesting story.
Yes. Well, thank you, Dave. Thank you for having me. And hopefully there's some budding engineers in the audience.
I think there will be. My guest today was Dwayne Gelowitz, a senior engineering consultant in environmental and civil engineering, currently working as a principal at the Clifton Engineering Group. Join us next time on Engineering Conversations, when my guest will be Patty Kindred, an industrial systems engineer who spent the bulk of her career in telecommunications, but then went on to work for the profession and eventually opened up her own consulting business. We'll see you then.